Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Between split lips and pink eye and skin knees, you know, our children go through so much and get so many different little injuries here and there. And sometimes as parents, we just say, you know what, I think we maybe don't have to run to the ER in this case. And my guest is Dr. Deborah Ann Mulligan. She's the director of the Institute for Child Health Policy. So, Dr. Mulligan, what are some of the things that we can do at home to treat some of the maladies, many maladies that our children pop up with through their growing years?
You know, a good way to start approaching this would be, you know, when you have a new baby or a young child, oftentimes it isn't clear to us as new parents what we can do just at home, what do we need to do to go to the emergency department to be on the safe side, and that confusion sometimes can be handled with a very easy approach to a quick call to your pediatrician, if that's what you feel is indicated, just to make sure that you're okay with doing things at home. And this, again, is for new parents and or for those seasoned parents who have handled plenty of emergencies, cuts and boo-boos and injuries and falls at home without any untoward consequence, because they could be handled as minor injuries or et cetera at home. And another way to approach it is today there's the virtual office, and so you can visit your pediatrician by a number of manners. One of them, we spoke earlier about MD Live. There are many pediatricians who use that site where you as a parent can show the child virtually on your smartphone or on your computer and show the injury to the covering pediatrician and get a quick answer as to what to do next. But there are many other things that we all know we can handle at home without much difficulty. For example, if you get an insect bite, and removing the stinger right away, you can get your credit card and scrape it along the skin to remove the stinger, because if you don't, that stinger is going to continue to release the venom from the insect, and that's going to continue to cause a reaction on the skin and pain. You can remove it and then apply maybe a little cleansing to it with soap and water very gently. There are plenty of salves out there these days over the counter that you can buy and apply to a bee bite, for example, provided the child is not exhibiting any allergic reactions to the bee bite, such as cortisone creams. And there's so many other things that you can buy in any local grocery store or pharmaceutical store that can be used to attend to the discomfort that you might feel from an isolated insect bite.
Now, what about things like pink eye or, you know, any of those kinds of things?
Which, I'm sorry?
No, pink eye, conjunctivitis.
Oh, pink eye, sure. You know, if your child has some redness to the eye, first of all, if they're in school and there's any question that they have pink eye, the school is not going to let them attend class. So that has to be understood up front. At home, if you see a little bit of what you think might be maybe an allergic reaction as opposed to an actual bacterial infection, you can clean the eye gently with water, maybe you know, put some over-the-counter medication in there to make it feel a little better. But if there's any swelling of the eyelid, any green or yellow crusting of the eyelashes, anything such as that, that needs to be seen by a physician, a pediatrician, so that they can determine if it's bacterial and give them an appropriate antibiotic to treat it.
I got a good one for you here, Dr. Mulligan. What
What's
about
that?
Febrile seizures?
If it's a first-time fever with seizure, febrile seizure, and you have never been evaluated, you need to bring your child into the emergency department. If they've already been diagnosed with febrile seizure and they're between that those ages where it's commonly going to occur, which is in the infant age on up to about 6 years old, what typically happens is with a sudden rise in fever or a high fever, those children that are prone to febrile seizures will experience a short, generalized convulsion that stops in just a couple minutes. And those are the benign type seizures we hear about. where your job as a parent would be to make sure that the child doesn't fall and hurt themselves with furniture, et cetera, when the seizure happens, to roll them gently on their side so that the saliva that accumulates in their mouth falls to the side and it's not pooling in their mouth. Do not stick anything in their mouth. They're not going to choke on their tongue. They're not going to swallow their tongue. Remember, your tongue is tacked down with that little frenulum at the front that you can see, so don't be worried about that. And then, of course, give them some Tylenol or Motrin, and you should feel fine about calling your pediatrician just to double-check that everything's okay.
And what about sports injuries? When do you say wrap it, ice it, elevate it, compress it, and do the old Rice method, and when do we really have to say, well, I don't know, maybe we need to get you in?
That's a good question. So injuries and emergencies in sports are very common in children. Almost every kid is in some form of organized sports. Your typical black and blue mark or muscle sprain, Charlie horse, as you said, those can be treated with what's called Rice, where you raise up that limb that's affected, apply ice, maybe wrap it up, give them some Tylenol or Motrin. However, if you see any deformities of digits on the fingers or the shoulder, then obviously any deformity, any prolonged pain or increasing pain in that limb is not okay. And in those cases, you'd want to go to the emergency department just to double check that there was no small fracture that might have happened or a dislocation of the joint.
And what about head injuries? Now, there's been a lot of focus on concussion, but sometimes a head injury is just a minor, maybe even a cut on the head, but they bleed a lot. You know, cuts on your head, they bleed a ton. So can you just cover it, hold it there, and it stops bleeding? Or do you rush to the emergency room if your kid is bleeding a little on their head?
Well, you know, the little guys are like Charlie Brown. So the toddlers are like Charlie Brown. They have big heads, little bodies. So gravity is going to pull that head forward anytime there's a fall, even if it's falling from a standing position or in their high chair. And so you'll typically see those goose eggs on the front of the head, you know, those little knots that they have on the forehead. And provided that the child didn't have any loss of consciousness, that there wasn't any vomiting, that there's just that little goose egg, you probably are fine to treat it with applying ice and giving them a little Tylenol for the ache. But, you know, if there's anything that occurs to a child younger than the age of 2 or has any possibility of a neck injury involved in their fall or their incident, if there's any possibility that that you're noticing that they're not acting quite right, or they're sleeping more than normal, anything along those lines, you need to bring them into the emergency department.
Okay.
Constant headaches, any dizziness, any complaint of any blurry vision, any of those types of symptoms or signs need recognition by a physician and evaluation in the emergency department.
Now, when a child is waking up in the middle of the night, Dr. Mulligan, with the pain in their ear, you know, some of us are so tempted to pick up the phone and call your pediatrician. We only have about 30 seconds left. What do you do for your child at home when they've got a real bad earache?
First off, you can give them some anti-inflammatory like Tylenol or Motrin if you have it in the house to help with that ache. Any kind of a sudden onset of ear pain is going to require a physical exam. So you can postpone it till morning, maybe with giving some Tylenol or Motrin, but no matter what, they're going to have to see their physician to find out if that's an acute infection or if they decided to use a Q-tip and clean their ear and perforated their eardrum, because remember, kids do things like that as well. And so at the end of the day, you're going to need to see your physician, but you can postpone a little bit by attending to their pain.
Thank you so much, Dr. Deborah Ann Mulligan. And remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. You're listening to Healthy Children on Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.